petition to change rules. This is a decision, and we are going to be considering two separate petitions pursuant to RCW 34.05.330. And with that, I guess I will turn it over to you, Craig.
Morning, commissioners. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. I also have Dr. Lowry here, who can participate in the discussion on this topic as well. The commission received a petition to open fishing for bottom fish in northern Hood Canal and Daybob Bay. The department currently has that the Hood Canal closed under WAC 220-56-230, which closes recreational fishing year-round for bottom fish and halibut in all of Hood Canal. By way of background, the Hood Canal at the entrance has a shallow 150-foot sill, and then just south of that deepens to about 600 feet. And this sill creates a restriction of flow in the canal, freshwater inflow from rivers coupled with poor water exchange can result in high stratified water columns. These conditions then, with the nutrients that are coming in to the canal from upland sources, cause persistent low dissolved oxygen conditions in substantial portions of the canal. So back in 2002, 2003, and again in 2004, there were low dissolved oxygen events that caused large fish and shellfish kills in the canal. And at that time, the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopted permanent regulations closing commercial and recreational fisheries to eliminate harvest mortality and provide additional protection from mortality and stress created by these low dissolved oxygen events. Since that time, we've also seen dissolved oxygen at low levels in 2006 and 2010. We reviewed our trawl data that we have for the canal, and that data shows that the densities in the northern and southern portions of the canal have similar low densities. Those are referenced in figure one of your summary document, indicating that there's likely the northern canal is providing refuge for bottom fish that may move into the northern areas, a temporary response to this low dissolved oxygen conditions. The northern canal might also provide a source for bottom fish to repopulate the southern canal after these low dissolved oxygen events occur. The trawl data also shows the densities in the canal are low compared to the 1960s data we have. And show that they're comparable to current densities elsewhere in the Puget Sound, with the possible exception of flatfishes, English sole in particular. Those are referenced in figure two. So having had the canal closed for bottom fish harvest for the last decade or so, we'd expect to see the population increase in densities as a result of this decrease in harvest mortality. So absent that response, we think that there likely is some stressors that are continuing to maintain lower densities in the canal. However, as we looked at the data and trying to strike a balance with providing some limited opportunity if possible, we looked at the canal and in the areas in the Quilcene Bay area and northern portion of Daybob Bay, we felt that there would be some opportunity to provide some limited harvest while still maintaining those conservation measures to address the low dissolved oxygen. And if I could turn your attention to figure three, the department is looking at that area from Point Whitney a due east line across the bay to Tenondos Peninsula. If you look at that area northerly, and then there's a red contour line, that's our 120-foot contour line, we would propose that the commission deny the petition, however, direct staff to initiate rulemaking to look at possible fishing opportunity for selected species of bottom fish in those portions of the Quilcene and Daybob Bays that are shallower than 120 feet, which would be the from that red line shoreward. And we think by doing that, the data shows that primarily we have flatfish that would be available in this area, and given we're seeing increased numbers of those species in these bays, we think that we could provide some limited opportunity for the folks in the area and still meet those conservation objectives. And with that, I'd take any questions.
Any questions for Craig from the commission? Hearing none, I guess.
Sorry, I did want to ask a question.
Okay.
I had my phone on mute, and I'm asking for the floor.
Yep.
Craig, thanks for that presentation. I looked at this data, and I didn't see where there was any indication that the stocks other than sole are rebounding. So where, could you direct my attention to the data that shows that there may be opportunity here?
Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. And I would refer to figure one. And you're correct. The data that we're looking at and seeing as well is focused around the flatfish species. And in these areas, these shallow portions of Quilcene and Daybob Bays, those are the primary species that are in those areas. And so we felt that if there was opportunity available, it would be in those areas targeting English sole, sand dab, starry flounder.
Okay, and but the flounder data is not presented to us.
We think that's correct, Commissioner Wecker. The focus is we looked at the English sole data in particular. We think that that's primarily what is in those bays. There's likely sand dab, starry flounder. We think that the ability for the recreational angler to differentiate between those species is likely low. So we wouldn't propose limiting the fishery to strictly English sole, but rather a broader bottom fish fishery with the likelihood that those are the species that would be harvested.
Okay, and the petition that we were provided, I think, in our attachments, did not, as I recall, have any names on it. But how many people have come to the department asking for greater opportunity? Is this a large group or is this a small group?
Commissioner Wecker, to my knowledge, the department has not received a petition with names attached to it. We have in the past received requests from the public to reopen Hood Canal to fishing. Those have been limited in number, but I couldn't speak to how many people were responsible for this particular petition. We received the formal petition from one individual.
Okay. I'll just comment for myself, I guess. I looked at the data and I wondered, why are we even considering opening opportunity given the contacts that this part of the bay, this part of Hood Canal may be providing fish stocks for recovery in other parts once you have low oxygen events. So I looked at this data and I thought, why are we even considering opening opportunity right here? That was just my sense. And in addition to that, of course, rulemaking consumes staff time. So I was not convinced that we should be going forward here. I don't know how other commissioners feel. That's just a comment. Maybe I should ask Craig if there's a response to that comment that he would want to make. Why do you think this is a good idea?
Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. Staff had reviewed this petition and really have been thinking hard about how we can provide a recreational opportunity within the current situation that we have with continued concerns for meeting our conservation objectives throughout the Puget Sound and the state in general. And so we looked hard at this petition to try to see if there were any opportunities that we could provide for some recreational opportunity while being comfortable that we would be meeting those conservation objectives in terms of addressing the ability to provide fish in the majority of the Northern Hood Canal for addressing low dissolved oxygen events. So it was really trying to provide a balance, provide some opportunity, meet our conservation objectives. It's not as precautionary as maintaining a complete closure, but we felt that this was a step that we could take.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from commissioners? Question?
I had similar questions as Commissioner Wecker, and it's been helpful to have some of this comment, but let me ask another aspect of it when I looked at it. Since lingcod, quillback, and spiny dogfish, you know, are all still very low, in fact, none of them showing recovery, I was wondering about hooking mortality on those species if we were to open up for English sole and other flat fishes. Let me guess at the answer, then you give me the official answer. Do we have a geographical separation from those fish being in this upper part of Dava Bay, a different habitat that would separate them? Bottom line, what's to prevent hooking mortality problems with lingcod, quillback, especially?
Thank you, Commissioner Schmitten. And I would ask that Dr. Lowry respond to that. We've done some assessment of the data that we have in that area, and I'd like him to speak to the information in these bays relative to the overall assessment that you see here in Figure 1.
Thank you, Craig. So for the record, this is Dr. Dave Lowry with the Fish Program, Senior Research Scientist for Puget Sound Marine Fish. And the simple answer there is that we know some of these species, especially dogfish, of the ones listed here, dogfish and lingcod, cover quite a bit more area than just Quilcene Bay. We don't have specific tagging information for that specific locality, but just in general, these species tend to cover a lot more ground than just a small area like Quilcene Bay. So there's a good chance that the fish that are in there are fish that are moving into the bay, out of the bay, out into Hood Canal as a whole. For the dogfish, most likely actually migrating out to the main sound and potentially to the open ocean as well. So to say that these are an isolated population that would only be affected in Quilcene Bay is likely not true for those species. As far as hooking mortality, we have relatively little information on that. We have quite a bit of data that's been collected up and down the West Coast on hooking mortality of rock fishes, and most of that has to do with barotrauma and depth as opposed to just direct mortality from hooking injuries. But generally speaking, I would say that there would be some mortality to these other species associated with that. From the data that we have in the immediate vicinity of Quilcene and Debot Bay, we think that there are a fairly small encounter rate for these species. Our trawl and ROV data show that essentially it's a flat, muddy bottom, and what you end up with is a lot of flatfish and sculpin. You have fairly few of these other species in that vicinity. So from a conservation perspective, that was kind of our viewpoint on this, is that the hooking incidence would be fairly low. And then even within that, the hooking mortality should also be relatively low.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a follow-up, Commissioner Schmitten?
No, thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Craig?
I have one more.
Yes.
Draft motion calls for, suggests, recommends that we direct staff to initiate rulemaking. Can we fold this rulemaking into our regular sport fishing rulemaking cycle efficiently, or is this going to have to be conducted separately?
Thank you, Commissioner Wecker. There are options that the commission can take. We could initiate rulemaking immediately through a separate track. We do have next year we'll be looking at freshwater areas in Puget Sound and the coast. The commission could direct staff to address this as a commission request at that time. And then third, we are proposing to look at marine fish, forage fish, and shellfish rules in 2016. So there are some options the commission can consider.
And that, I presume, would be more efficient in use of staff time to just fold this into a regular cycle. So it makes sense to me to do it that way. Also, another question would be, would we be able to look at more data if we folded it into the rule cycle for next year?
So this is Dr. Lowry again. In the next 2 years, we have a couple of fairly major efforts that are going to go on that focus on Hood Canal, among other areas. We have an ROV study that's going to be focused mostly on rocky habitat and ESA-listed rockfish in the area, but that has a component that also samples other areas, so muddy bottoms and areas where we would not expect to find these rocky-associated species. So we've got survey work that's going to occur, and we could add a few stations directly in Quilcene and Debob over the next 2 years. We also have an effort that's going forward with the U.S. Navy surveying some facilities, including Bangor and Hood Canal. So we will have quite a bit more data about species composition and distribution in the area in probably the next 18 months to 2 years. I think that works well with the 2016 cycle.
Okay. Well, then, that would give me a higher degree of comfort in opening fisheries that we have closed for conservation reasons for quite some time, if we had a little more data suggesting that there's sufficient fish to offer. And I do trust that staff have looked hard to evaluate the conservation implications of what they're recommending to us here, and they wouldn't recommend rulemaking if they did not believe we could meet our conservation objectives. So I'm not saying, I'm not questioning that. I'm just would feel more comfortable as a decision maker if we saw some data that was more positive to initiate this rulemaking, and rather ask them to look at it for the next rule cycle, give us more data at that point, more efficient use of their time. So that's, I guess, what I would prefer to do.
Chair Wecker, if I may add, if the commission's intent was to utilize the information that Dr. Lowry just described. The timing to have that available would coincide with the rulemaking that we would undertake in 2016, which would be the year after next, when we would be assessing marine species. So that would be 2 years out.
Two years.
Coincide with that data.
Okay. And I did also want to say that I do appreciate and applaud staff for looking for expansion in sport opportunity. We've been asking you all to do that. That's what you're doing here. So I want to give you some pats on the back for that. Just, I don't know that we should be looking at it if there's, you know, a real problem with conservation, marginal situation.
So,
thanks.
Let me ask, is any other commissioners have a comment on Commissioner Wicker's thoughts or the original motion?
Yes, Commissioner Carpenter, I have a couple comments and questions.
Yes, Commissioner Carpenter.
I guess my question is this for Mr. Burley and Dr. Lowry. I guess I'd like to have a little bit of a sense. Obviously, you've made a recommendation. What would you rate the risk, or is there any risk if we open this up for some flatfish opportunity sooner than later? Not putting words in your mouth, but I'd like to know some detail, because I'm a little concerned about how much effort there would be, what kind of license sales it might help generate, and constraining opportunity when we're not sure we have a problem. I understand what Madam Chair is talking about, but I know a little bit about that area, and you know, people are going to go fish for flatfish. I just need a little more insight from your perspective as scientists. What's the risk reward here?
Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. There's a bit of an unknown associated with this, with opening this fishery. It's in an area that has been closed for a decade or so. Traditionally, we don't see a lot of effort on these species in the Sound. So I think there's, again, a bit of an unknown. History or current practice would suggest that effort would be low, but then again, there hasn't been a fishery here in a number of years, so it may generate some excitement.
Well, I guess a follow-up to that, then, talk to me about your sense of risk.
Thanks, Commissioner Carpenter. Our recommendation here is premised that we think the risk is limited, given the geographic area that we're considering and the species that are present. And so we think risk is low. There's always a benefit of having additional information, as Commissioner Wicker suggests. But at current time, we think risk is low.
Well, I guess my response then would be, I do respect Madam Chair's comments, but I think if you're a scientist, think the risk is low, there's not going to be much participation, there will be a chance to do some monitoring in the meantime while we're trying to get the ROV data that you're going to do with those areas geographically and with the Navy. I'm not opposed to it.
Craig, Commissioner Smith, will there be, if this fishery does resume, will there be some creel census work done by staff to garner more data?
Mr. Smith, we had not anticipated adding staffing to do any creel above our current activities, which is primarily boat-based activities. What we would be doing, though, is, as Dr. Lowry proposes, continuing some population assessment work in the area.
Okay, thank you. Other questions or comments?
Mr. Vice Chair,
yep.
I'm not opposed And as I mentioned, I do trust staff will look hard at our conservation obligations, so I'm not opposed to this. I just wondered if it was worth going to all the extra work with the independent rulemaking on a fishery that may not attract a lot of fishers, the benefit side of it. But I'm willing to trust that staff have already thought about that. They know their workload better than I do, so I don't really object to this at all. In fact, and I'm willing to make the motion.
Well, then, hearing no other questions, please do make the motion.
Okay. I move to deny the petition to open fishing for bottom fish in northern Hood Canal region and Daybob Bay and direct staff to initiate rulemaking to consider allowing bottom fish fishing for selected species in waters shallower than 120 feet in Quilosin Bay and Daybob Bay north of a true east line from Point Whitney to the Tornados Peninsula.
Do I hear a second to the motion?
Commissioner Carbonaro, I'll second that.
Your second. Any further discussion? Hearing not, I will call for the vote. All those in favor of the said motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Abstain. Motion has been passed. Thank you, Craig.